League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. Very energetic for post-quali Japan. You know what I mean? It is 8:08 in the morning right now. We're live on Twitch, WTF1 official, if you don't follow us already. And the coffee is well and truly kicked in. Can't go to bed after this, really. But Tommy, you are the WTF1 founder. You are the founder of my heart, my life, my soul. And you are here to talk me through qualifying as well. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I do love Suzuka. It's a great track, especially for quali.
It absolutely is. Let's talk about what went on then, shall we? But before we do, should we just top off with the news that was the big news at 1 a.m. local time this morning, local time for the UK, where they announced, Alpine announced Pierre Gasly for next year, and AlphaTauri announced super sub Nyck de Vries, which is...
Wild, silly season it is.
Absolute turn up for the books, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just makes you think, Tommy, if you'd have got the call up for the Italian Grand Prix, do you reckon you would have secured a seat as well?
Exactly. No, Nyck de Vries did do really well, but...
He did.
Yeah, the fact that this silly season's been wild, it doesn't really matter who you drive for, what junior team you're in, just seats are up for anyone's game, really. Like, you know, Gasly going to Alpine alongside someone apparently he has beef with, and there's this whole situation there. And then Nyck de Vries, who's been sat on the pit wall with Toto Wolff the entire year, has now run off and joined the Red Bull Junior program. So it's pretty wild.
It certainly is. So that's another two slots filled. We now only have Haas and Williams remaining, which could be argued as two of the slower cars on the grid. Maybe two of the least wanted seats. But we've got potentially Logan Sargeant as the front runner for the Williams seat. And as for Haas, could well be Mick Schumacher being re-signed, although I'm not sure after crashing in free practice whether that will help his negotiations. Or Nico Hülkenberg. They seem to be the two front runners, but then who knows, right?
Yeah.
Like, Danny Rick looked really good in the first part of qualifying. You're thinking, oh, maybe. You know,
and then, the way this silly season's gone, I mean...
Who knows?
Even 3 weeks ago, no one would have been saying... Well, like a month ago, ever, no one would have been saying, why would de Vries go to AlphaTauri? And it happened, so...
Or why would AlphaTauri take de Vries?
Yeah, exactly. What a weird season.
It's all changed. And I love it. I love a bit of unpredictable silly season, driver transfer window market things. I still don't know why it's called silly season. A lot of people have no idea what that means. Right, let's talk about qualifying then, shall we? And Q1, the inevitable Nicholas Latifi P20. I mean, to be fair to him, at one point he was 14th in Q1. And I was thinking, is this man going to make it out of Q1 after getting confused as to where the track layout was in FP2? Unfortunately not. He was quite close to Stroll, to be fair to him. Does love his Nutella. 0.2 off the back of Albon. And it wasn't a bad qualifying, to be fair, for Latifi in the grand scheme of what has gone on over this season. But the big shock was Gasly in 17th, Kevin Magnussen in 18th. It was a very close qualifying, really. But then if you actually look, it was a 10th and a half from Albon to Schumacher, which was quite a big gap in the grand scheme of what qualifying was for Japan. Q2 was very strange, in particular, for how close the whole field seemed to be. But yeah, Gasly and Magnussen were the big scalps.
They were indeed, yeah. Shocker for Gasly after he's just been announced at Alpine.
Had brake problems though, didn't he?
He did have brake problems. Yuki Tsunoda up there in 13th, which shows that he's the greatest of all time. Lance Stroll as well. He's had a bit of a shocker. 19th when you look where his teammate is as well. But yeah, that Aston Martin wasn't looking good.
And also probably worth mentioning, quite a big impact of the race is that there is a 5-place grid penalty for Nicholas Latifi. So that will mean a P20 start as opposed to P20. So, that will change the race quite dramatically.
He'll be starting at the the runoff area that he mistook for the chicane.
Yeah, he was actually just testing him a grid, the grip.
Yeah, they'll paint him a grid box on there that says P25.
Anyway, so that's Q1 done and dusted. Albon was close to making it out, but didn't manage it. Then into Q2, and Daniel Ricciardo was looking so good. Like, I was genuinely buzzing for him. In Q1, rapid, great. I think he was up there in sort of P5, P6 territory for a while, maybe dropped a little bit further, but still was ahead of Lando, even after the second run that Lando did in Q1, I think. By 1/1000th of a second. Q2, again, an early lap time, which was maybe P5. But unfortunately for him, run where the track's ramping up, track evolution kicking in, he didn't improve. Everybody else around him improved by, I don't know, 2-3 tenths was definitely the margin of probably the evolution. But Danny Ric didn't improve and ended up 11th. And you just go, oh, no, thought this was the one.
Yeah, it's gutting, really. He was looking so good until you tweeted about him. But yeah, he was...
For those that didn't see my tweet, really, I said that Daniel Ricciardo, something around the...
Flying in qualifying, and then got knocked out pretty much straight.
Great. Sorry.
Very next lap. Yeah, it was actually wild because the track evolution was insane to the point where you had Verstappen, Sainz and Leclerc as your top three, and Leclerc actually got bumped right down to ninth. We're obviously bantering. Mm. I was bantering on the watch along that, like, oh, Leclerc could be in trouble here as a joke. And then he did actually end up ninth. Danny Ric obviously should have gone quicker, which would have put Leclerc 10th. But yeah, he was just saved by the fact that it was unlikely, really, that Bottas and Oda, Guan Yu Zhou and Mick Schumacher were going to get out. But they were 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th.
Indeed. So Danny Ric, sad times for him. Bottas, decent qualifying. Thought that Zhou Guan Yu was going to have the upper hand there, but he managed 12th. Yuki Tsunoda, about as good, I think, as he could do in that dog of an AlphaTauri. And then Mick Schumacher, 15th, of course, ahead of Magnussen, but maybe looked a little bit better than half a second off the back of Zhou Guan Yu in 14th. But yeah, I don't think there was much else that went on in Q2. I mean, surprisingly, after all of the Danny Ric, oh no, he's next to Lando on the grid.
Yeah, I just saw that. Wild.
Yeah, I think it's probably because Lando's first part of qualifying meant that he had to take an extra set of softs, meaning he only had one run and clearly didn't manage to utilise that. So moving on to Q3 now, and the big talking point includes Lando Norris, in fact, and Max Verstappen. We obviously right now, as of recording this podcast, don't know what the stewards have decided. It'll probably take 3 to 4 working days before we actually get an answer from them.
Yeah, we'll find out on Monday.
Yeah, whether Max Verstappen has a grid penalty for tomorrow.
Sunday's race.
So for me, sketchy, 100%. I think there's a little bit to play where there's almost like a gentleman's agreement, as you call it. You know, before you start a qualifying lap, you don't go and overtake someone before, you know, the last couple of corners before they're starting a lap. For whatever reason, Lando's got on with it. Maybe Max is going unnecessarily slowly. The problem for me, I think, is not the fact that he was going slowly, but the fact that he did that quite aggressive burnout as Lando was coming towards him. Now, Max will obviously argue, I didn't see him through 130R. Of course, you know, you have point whatever of a second to react to it. I don't know. I think it might just be a reprimand personally, but then I don't know. McLaren could argue it affected my lap leading up to doing a lap. Max even apologised, didn't he, in the car, which a lot of people would say that as an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really get factored in the studio. They go, well, actually, you put your hand up in the cockpit, so you think you're at fault. I don't know. I don't think it'll be a penalty, personally, but it's borderline because it just depends on how the stewards view how much Lando was actually impacted by what you could argue is slightly dangerous driving.
Yeah, it was just watching it again now because they've just started showing it. But yeah, the fact that normally you kind of bunch up just before the final chicane. So I guess Verstappen was probably surprised the fact that Norris was coming quickly through 130R and starting his lap earlier than you normally would. because we do see now a lot where the cars just slow down to such a slow pace, don't they, and leave that gap before the start. But yeah, the fact that Max lit up the tyres and lost it a little bit, Lando saw the opportunity to go by, and you could argue it still probably would have been a little bit like, whoa, if he hadn't done the burnout, but the burnout makes it look much worse, and it was. So it depends what they, how they see it and how much McLaren complain, because I guess Lando is down in P10. So they might say that, you know, it's completely ruined our lap. I've just seen that the stewards have confirmed that Verstappen is under investigation and will be summoned at 5 p.m. local time, which is about 45 minutes time from now we're recording. So we shall find out. But yeah
by the time this podcast goes out, then I imagine you might probably know. But we are live on Twitch, so there's lots of people currently in the chat discussing it. Some saying reprimand will be fine, at most a 3-place grid penalty. Yeah, I think if they do go for a penalty, it'll be a 3-place, no more than that. As much as I'm praying for 125 championship point deduction to allow Leclerc back in the championship. Yeah, I think, yeah, the only penalty that they would really go for is a 3-place, if anything.
Yeah, I'd agree. They don't tend to delete best lap times anymore. That's more for track limits and stuff. So, yeah, I could see it being the worst penalty I can see is being a 3-place. Agreed.
What do you think? Reprimand?
Yeah, I feel like it'd be a reprimand, and F1 Twitter will take it very well.
As they do with everything, right? Yeah. They're very serious over on F1 Twitter. It's quite beholding.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
To see. So yes, Max Verstappen did take pole by 1/100th of a second, which pained me greatly. Charles Leclerc, that last sector just did not work for the Ferrari. The entire qualifying session, they lost a couple of tenths in that last sector, and it was no different in Q3. And that was the difference between pole for Charles, but potentially it might well be a Ferrari 1-2 if Verstappen does get a 3-place penalty, which will make the race, I think, a little bit more exciting. I think the Red Bull and Verstappen will have the upper hand, as they have had many times this season in the race. So I think a Ferrari 1-2, not just for my own fanboy tendencies, but also for the race, would actually make it a lot more exciting with the two Red Bulls directly behind. Another shout out to Esteban Ocon. That man does not get enough credit.
No, he doesn't. And I'm the worst for it, I will admit it.
Very quietly, Esty Bestie puts in some great performances. He out-qualified Fernando Alonso by 0.5. Hamilton slotted in between, sorry, not 0.5, 1.5. And then you've got Hamilton in between Ocon and Alonso in P6. But yeah, Ocon, great performance. Fernando did look like he was going to get a top five, to be honest with you. And that was something that I certainly thought was going to happen. Yeah.
Ocon beating both Mercs and his teammate. Fair play. Best he could do. Bestie. That wasn't even deliberate. But yeah, it was fair play, Ocon. Like you say, he's one of those people that goes a bit under the radar, because if that was Fernando Alonso, I'd be there saying he's the GOAT. And I will admit, I would be doing that. So yeah, fair play, Ocon. That was a very, very good lap indeed. Be interesting to see what Alpine can do from 5th and 7th. Hopefully their car doesn't break down. Although maybe... I hope it does, so I don't have to buy their merchandise for that podcast bet where I said that they'd finish in the top four, because they're now behind
the thing,
McLaren.
Right? That's a big talking point, because they lost a lot of points at Singapore to McLaren, but 5th and 7th is a good starting point, considering McLaren are 10th and 11th, to claw back some of that deficit with the final few races this season. George Russell, P8, was a 10th behind Hamilton. just, yeah, on the wrong end of being a couple of tenths behind. But let's talk about, last but not least, Sebastian Vettel. What a qualifying performance from the four-time champ.
What a man.
Just about managed to scrape through to Q3, getting 10th in that session. And then out-qualifying Lando, a 1 minute 30.5, was only, what, less than 2 tenths behind George Russell in that Aston Martin. That man loves Suzuka. He was even waving. He was waving at the end of Q3, about 3.5 minutes to go. He'd just finished his final flying lap. He knew he wasn't going to be out the pits again for qualifying. And he's waving to the fans. You don't see that all too often, do you?
No, he absolutely loves Suzuka. Said it in our watch along that I remember the video you did with him a few years back now. Asked him his favorite track, and within a millisecond, he answered Suzuka. He absolutely loves it. He'll have missed the track as well, massively. And he's got a 100% Q3 appearance record at this circuit, which is extremely impressive. The fact that he's done it in that Aston Martin when his teammate has only managed to beat Latifi.
Yeah, 19th.
And that, yeah, so it's such an impressive lap. And yeah, it was emotional to see him waving to the crowd because he just loves Suzuka so much. And I guess the driving joy of something like Suzuka is qualifying when you've got best tires on and you're just going absolutely flat out. It is like a hot lap circuit, isn't it? So he must have been absolutely loving it. Like you say, he said on the radio, this is so much better than every other circuit. He just loves it, doesn't he? And it was great. It's great to see him up there.
Yeah, it certainly is. Amazing performance from Sebastian Vettel. And yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for qualifying. Chat, have you got any questions for us? We're live on Twitch, as I say, WTF1 official. We'll see if there's any questions from chat and then we will bounce. So get your questions in. I'll have a look and see. First one I've seen is from Kendo47 Wow Geek. Should artificial rain be used to create more interesting races at tracks with no passing? You've teed that up quite nicely. I think we've had our race in qualifying for Suzuka. Should we have sprinklers? Absolutely not. No, not a chance. Do not touch them. No. That's not the jeopardy that we need in Formula One. Artificial, gimmicky sprinklers.
No, definitely not. Not artificial rain. It will ruin the excitement of when you do actually get a bit of rain, which you never know. There's a 90% chance, according to Google, and the teams think it's going to be mixed conditions.
That's what we want to see. As long as it rains in the middle of the race, that will be beautiful. JSOProp 2012. Pirelli said we might get some hard, medium, soft quali sessions next year during a free practice interview. That's very true, actually. I saw that doing its rounds on social media. That's different. Hard, medium. So hard for Q1, medium for Q2, and soft for Q3. I'm not a big fan of that, personally. I don't like the look of that.
I want to see
the drivers going fully at it on the soft tyres. I like the fact that they are doing a lot more soft runs now because it's just the fastest. And I don't know.
Why would you do that in qualifying and not the race? Like, make them use all three tyres in the race, then you get two pit stops.
Yeah,
guaranteed mandatory. Different, more strategy, more overtakes, excitement. That's when to do it. Not qualifying. Because
exactly.
if you've got a car that isn't very good on the hard tires, you're basically just going to be out in Q1 every single session.
Absolutely. Harriet 99, who gains the most positions from where they start in the race? Look at the grid. Who's going to gain the most positions? I think it's going to be Lance Stroll, who will score 1 point in 10th place.
I think it will be
starting 19th.
Lewis Hamilton. Get on the podium.
He will be the driver to gain the most positions. Wow. Okay. I think Lance Stroll's going to go on one of his mad ones, as he always does. When I say mad ones, we don't see anything for the whole race.
Yeah. And then he's ninth at the finish. Yeah.
Love it. Is Suzuka actually a good track for overtaking? Says Hello, It's Night. No, it's going to be hopefully down to strategy, hopefully down to a bit of mixed weather conditions, and we'll have a great race on our hands. But if not, if it's fully dry, might well be a bit of an interesting one. And I say interesting, I mean dull. But we'll see. We will make our minds up tomorrow. Knox 10 says Latifi, he starts 25th, 5 positions made up by lap 1. Nice. I like that. Right, Tommy, final thoughts.
Final thoughts are that during practice, I heard that Ferrari are starting using an automated system that tells them things like safety car. So rather than the engineer having to do work and say, the safety car's coming out, or this, there's now a voice that just goes, safety car, 10 meters or whatever, and this kind of stuff. What could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong putting that in an automated system?
Doesn't sound meme-worthy at all.
No.
Can you imagine if there's one that goes, engine blown, pull over?
Yeah.
Oh, I joke, but there probably is that put into the team radio. So there you go.
Hards.
My final thought is I'm looking forward to the championship being back on. Okay. Charles Leclerc takes the lead at turn one, drives off into the sunset. Max Verstappen bottles it. Gets a 125 point championship penalty point thing. I don't know what I'm saying.
My brain's thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And can't wait for it. No, genuinely, I think if we get some rain, we could have a very interesting race on our hands, just purely because Suzuka is a treacherous racetrack if it starts raining. There is no room, as we saw in free practice, there was a few mistakes. The hairpin, for example, Leclerc almost getting beached. I think if we get some slippery conditions in the race, we will see a very jumbled up order. So I'm very much down for that. So please join us tomorrow live on Twitch, WTF1 official. We will be up at the crack of dawn. I know we keep saying it as Europeans, and I know a lot of people absolutely hate us complaining about one early race
one
in the
race.
Year. Sorry. Well, Australia, maybe two. But we will be live on Twitch. So come and join us. We will be there, coffee in hand, and look forward to maybe seeing Max Verstappen clinching the championship, and Tommy will wear his cape and parade around his room beautifully. So thank you everybody for tuning in. Thanks if you're listening on audio, give us a 5-star review if you haven't already, and we may well read one of those out, your one out even, on the post-race podcast that goes live on Tuesday. Team WTF1 members will get it on Monday. And also a big shout out to our annual, we've got our annual sales or pre-order sale, live at the moment. So go and check that out. I think it's WTF1.com/annual. It's £15.99, all included if you're in the UK. So that includes tracking, postage. So if you want to get that, it was a big success last year. And we know that a lot of people will probably want it again this year. So that's what I thought I'd let you know. And that is about it. We're going to now send over our Twitch stream to someone else, but we'll say goodbye to audio listeners right now. Goodbye! Tommy, you have to say goodbye. I literally said, we're saying goodbye to audio listeners. And what do? You wave.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.